This podcast is going to detail a little bit more about President Johnson's impeachment and try to teach you about the process of impeachment. Let's talk about that process just a little bit first, and we'll get into the specifics about what happened to President Johnson. The authority to impeach a president lies solely with the United States House of Representatives in this country. To impeach a president means to bring the president up on charges of committing a crime. There have been numerous times when it's been discussed in our history whether or not to bring a president up on charges and have him stand trial for something that he did wrong. But it's only happened twice where a president was impeached, President Johnson and President Clinton. It takes simple majority of the House of Representatives to do so. So in the case of Johnson in 1867, the House voted by simple majority to go ahead and charge him with a crime. We'll talk about the specifics of that in a minute. And then he stood trial. The trial is the convicting process. So the House of Representatives is like a district attorney. The Senate acts as the jury. The Senate hears the case. They hear all the evidence presented against the president and on behalf of the president. And then they decide ultimately what the president's fate will be. If the Senate votes by two-thirds majority to convict the president, then the president is convicted of his crimes. There's no prison term, but he is convicted of his crimes and removed from office. That's the penalty, his removal from office. That has never happened in the history of our country. Again, we've had two presidents impeached, Johnson and Clinton. There were trials held for both of those two men to determine whether or not the Senate would convict and ultimately remove the presidents from office. But in both cases, the presidents were found not guilty and remained in office, although they were still impeached because charges were brought against them. President Nixon, very famously, of course, resigned before he could be impeached. It was about to be voted on by the House, his impeachment charges, and they would have put charges against Nixon and in all likelihood would have convicted and removed him from office, but he resigned before that process could be undertaken. So we've had two impeachments. We've never had any removals from office. During an impeachment case, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court acts as the judge. So it's the House that brings charges, the Senate that acts as the jury and hears the case. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court is the judge. He oversees the entire proceedings. In the case of Johnson in 1867, you read in the book that the technical reason for his being impeached was his violation of something called the Tenure of Office Act. A president could not remove a person from a position in his cabinet. Let's just use that as the example. Someone who had been subject to Senate approval or congressional approval to get the office in the first place could not be removed from that office without similar congressional approval. Johnson fired a guy named Edwin Stanton, who was his Secretary of War, who he had inherited from Lincoln. The Tenure of Office Act didn't even technically apply to Stanton. So really, the charges against Johnson were completely trumped up because he had every right, according to the Tenure of Office Act, to fire Stanton because Stanton had been put in place by Lincoln, not by Johnson. But all that aside, the Congress went ahead and decided they would impeach Johnson for this. Johnson actually fired Stanton to test the constitutionality of the Tenure of Office Act. So he did it purposefully and then ultimately was impeached for doing so when the House of Representatives and the Senate came after him. So the House pressed charges against Johnson for violation of the Tenure of Office Act, and then by simple majority voted to go ahead and impeach him, to bring him up on those charges, and then his trial was held before the United States Senate. On all the different counts, all the different charges that were made against Johnson, any of which could have led to his impeachment, Johnson was found not guilty by a single vote. Yes, a single vote. There were, I believe, seven Republicans who thought that the process was not fair or that the standard for conviction had been met. And they voted against their Republican brothers and voted to keep Johnson in office, voting along with the Democrats. And one of those Republicans, very famously, was the senator from Kansas named Edmund Ross. And I believe that Ross, alphabetically, was, or however they went through the process, whether it was alphabetically or they went by state, he was the last of those Republicans, those seven who were voting to keep Johnson in. He was the last to vote. So in theory, and you'll read about this in history books sometimes, and you can read about this online, I'm sure, Ross is given credit for being the person who saved Johnson's presidency by casting a vote not to convict him. And he was the last of those individuals who could have potentially said no. If he would have said yes, then everybody else after him was going to vote yes to convict Johnson and convict him and remove him from office. So that's how the process works. House brings charges, Senate acts as jury, Chief Justice acts as the judge. In Johnson's case, it was totally political, totally trumped up. They were just tired of his standing in the way of radical Reconstruction. They were tired of him vetoing bills, and even though they could override him every single time, he was still delaying the process of radical Reconstruction. So basically, it was just a political move by the Republicans to get rid of him. Ironically, he only had, you know, a year, maybe a little less than a year left on his presidency anyway, because he was not going to win re-election. He was so unpopular. But they went ahead with the process of attempting to impeach and convict President Johnson.